The Blaze Radio Network. On demand. Glenn Beck.
President Trump has ousted Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, replaced him with CIA Director Mike Pompeo. This is a major change to the national security team, and it is coming on the heels of the announcement that we may be going to North Korea for talks. Trump apparently asked Friday for Tillerson to step aside move on and cut short his trip to Africa and return to Washington. Pompeo is going to replace him at the State Department, and Gina Haspel, she's the deputy director at the CIA, will succeed him at the CIA. She will become the very first woman to run the spy agency if she is confirmed. The president said that it was important to make a change now as he prepares for the talks with North Korea. He said, I want to thank Rex Tillerson for his service. A great deal has been accomplished over the last 14 months, and I wish him and his family well. Rex Tillerson, on his behalf, said, I am deeply grateful to President Trump for permitting me to serve as director of the Central. Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's Pompeo. Pompeo said, I'm deeply grateful for letting me serve as the director of the Central Intelligence Agency and now for the opportunity to serve as Secretary of State. That just broke this morning. And it's coming at an interesting time. And I have a feeling this all came because Tillerson was like, what? Because Tillerson last week was saying, we're not going to North Korea. We're not going to North Korea. We're not going to North Korea.
Yeah, what, an hour before Trump said we're going to, well, we're not going to North Korea, but we're going to meet with Kim Jong-un. Right before that, Tillerson said, oh, we're a long way away from direct talks.
Right.
Which now, was, that long way was 60 minutes.
And that's, right. You know, that's a long, time in today's news cycle.
My kids think an hour is a long time.
Right. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? The speculation is that this was the big falling out. This was the final straw. Tillerson was shocked by it. He said right after the statement last week that he had absolutely no idea. The president didn't consult with anyone. It's not his. I mean, it's his prerogative. He doesn't have to consult with anybody. The only problem with the North Korea thing, and I'm willing to give it a whirl, but the only problem from a Department of State stance would be that once you have the two big guys talk, there isn't anything else left. So if, you know, you try to hold that off as the last possible option when the deal is really getting close to push it over the top. You don't want to do that before you've exhausted every other option.
Because once they've met in person, there's nowhere to go from there except for missiles start flying. At least that's the theory.
That's the theory.
That's the theory. And this is interesting. Pompeo moving into that slot, you know, first of all, pretty stable guy. You know, this is not like it. There's not a controversy over, oh my gosh, Mike Pompeo. Like this guy, he was the CIA director already, former congressman, generally well-respected. One of the interesting things about Pompeo is he's been one of the harshest voices about Russian meddling in the administration. He said that they absolutely were meddling in the elections. Now, again, that does not mean collusion with
outcome of the election.
It has nothing to do with that. But he's been very harsh on Russia and what they have done in the past year or two. So that's kind of an interesting point.
Yes,
and I think that he would.
I think that's a real positive, especially for the deadline that we are waiting for in England. Don't know about it? Yeah, probably because the news has been so focused on other crap that you didn't hear. There's big developments between the UK and Russia. And we'll talk about that as the morning progresses.
It's Tuesday, March 13th. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
Do we have Theresa May's audio? Here's what happened last week. In case you have a life and you're not paying attention to news all the time, And especially when you are paying to the news, paying attention to the news, if they happen not to be talking about some scandal. Was it last week? I think it was last week. There was a Russian spy that was killed in the UK. Now, this isn't the first time. What was his name? Lavenko? Do you remember him? That was when we were at CNN, I think.
There's a huge list of these. I mean, I was reading this just the other day, the list of Russian poisonings mm-hmm. outside of Russia mm-hmm. of various
former
enemies,
friends.
Yeah, or enemies of the administration yeah. in some way right. or another. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's scary.
Yeah.
I mean, they've been doing this for a long time.
So, but the last one like this, I think was Lavenko, and he was a, Putin was not a fan of his. And he was in England, and he was eating in a restaurant, and they believe that there was about the size of a grain of salt enriched, what was it, uranium? It was polonium 221, 212, something like that. You'll have to look it up if you really want to know. But it's very rare. There's only two places that it could have come from, and that's deep in the vaults of the United States or deep in the vaults of Russia. It's extraordinarily dangerous and very, very rare. So it was used to send a message to the world. I can get you anywhere, because it clearly came from Putin. So they killed him on English soil, and the English didn't do anything about it. They were just like, you know, it's a spy dead, and, you know, spy versus spy, whatever. So they just moved past it. This time, however, there was a chemical weapon released in England, and it's put 22 or 21 people in the hospital. It's killed two people so far. There are people that are in critical condition. This is a chemical weapon released in England by Russia. Now, when we told you this last week, we've speculated that it was Russia, and we said, but they're never going to say that. They're never going to come out with any of that, because what are the options? You're going to go to war with Russia? Because that, remember, chemical weapons used on your civilian population, I think that's a red line. So what are they going to do? We supposed they would do nothing, because you don't want to escalate things at this time with Russia. That's not what Theresa May did. Here's a speech yesterday in the House of Commons. Listen to this.
Mr. Speaker, on Wednesday, we will consider in detail the response from the Russian state. Should there be no credible response, we will conclude that this action amounts to an unlawful use of force by the Russian state against the United Kingdom. And I will come back to this House and set out the full range of measures that we will take in response. Mr. Speaker, this attempted murder using a weapons-grade nerve agent in a British town was not just a crime against the Skripals. It was an indiscriminate and reckless act against the United Kingdom, putting the lives of innocent civilians at risk. And we will not tolerate such a brazen attempt to murder innocent civilians on our soil.
Okay, so what she said before this was, we now have identified the nerve agent, and it's like VX, but it is only made in Russia. So the only perpetrator could have been Russia, and most likely this came through in a diplomatic bag. I mean, it's not something you're going to smuggle across, you know, in through customs. So they don't know how, at least they're not saying how it got into the country. But they are saying that it is from Russia. Now, she used some interesting language here. She said they had 36 hours to respond. And that's Wednesday. And if they don't respond in a credible way on, what were you doing? What were you thinking? How did this happen? Oh, you guys didn't do it. Really? Tell me about that. If there's not a credible response from Russia by Wednesday, they will declare it an unlawful use of force. That sounds kind of legalistic. She then goes back and she says, this was weapons grade a weapons grade nerve agent, and it was an act against the United Kingdom. Article 5 is something that all NATO countries have signed on to. An attack on one is an attack on all of us. It's possible that she is setting up Article 5 against Russia and uniting NATO. Now, there isn't a country that wants to take Russia on, but there isn't a country, I think, in Europe that isn't tired of Russia's meddling, because they are meddling in all of our affairs. They are meddling with all of our elections. They are meddling in by funneling money and all kinds of things into what are called conservative movements. But over in England, conservative is not conservative. Conservative is usually a national socialist organization. There are 66 of these that are being funded and advised and helped by the Russians. I think there's a possibility that the NATO countries are going to say, yeah, okay, what do you want? And Theresa May, she may kick out all of the spies. I mean, I think the least they would do is, well, apparently we all know who's got spies where, which is bizarre. But we let their spies in our country, and they let our spies, and we just kind of like, what spies? I don't know what you're talking about. But there's a possibility the least offensive thing she could do is say, we're going to kick your spies out. The next step would probably be, we're going to kick your ambassador out, and we're going to apply sanctions on you. If she invokes Article 5, she could say, I would like all NATO nations to kick their spies out or kick their ambassadors out. And if we moved as a block, that's a big, big ballsy move. But what is England going to do? I don't know.
And it's insane that they just continue to do this, Russia. There's huge lists of all these poisonings, and one of them comes from the New York Times, an article they wrote in 2016, and it just goes through all of these poisonings that they've done. This is paragraph 10 of the story. Paragraph 10 of the story. Other countries, notably Israel and the United States, pursue targeted killings, but in a strict counterterrorism context. No other major power employs murder as systematically and ruthlessly as Russia does against those seen as betraying its interests abroad. Killings outside Russia were even given legal sanction by the nation's parliament in 2006.
Wait, what?
Killings outside Russia were even given legal sanction by the nation's parliament in 2006.
So the parliament said,
acknowledged this.
At least they're open about it. At least they're like, yeah, we're going to kill people overseas that are our enemies.
It is legal in the Russian government. Now, they've never claimed that they've used that law. Of course, they deny every one of these killings.
Mm-hmm.
These people tend to die in ways that you can only trace it back to Russia, intended.
I remember when that happened with Lavrenko, and it was polonium, and I had never heard of polonium before.
Yeah,
and it was explained to me by several experts, you would only use this if you wanted everybody to know. And that's what he's doing. You wouldn't. Why would you use a nerve agent that is only made in Russia? Why would you do that? I mean, you could use VX. That could have come from us. It could have come from Syria.
Mm-hmm.
You can use VX. Mm-mm. You pick the one. You got all those on the shelves. You pick the one that is only used in Russia. That tells you that you either have a rogue state, somebody inside that is stealing things from a lockdown situation to make Russia look bad. False flag. Or you are sending a message to the world. I don't care. I don't care about you. You're not going to do anything anyway.
And that's usually the way it's taken.
Yeah.
I think that we follow the trail of breadcrumbs here from Vladimir Putin in his interview with Megyn Kelly. Was it the Jews? We have not even considered that it was the Jews.
Thank you for saying that. What was the name of the guy that ran the deli slash chemical nerve agent shop in Manhattan. You remember him?
Glenn Beck.
Okay, there's as the Rex Tillerson story was filed this morning, there was another story that came out shortly after it that just bothers me. At 8:18, so the Rex Tillerson story was released, what, about 8 o'clock Central Time?
Yeah, a few minutes before 8, yeah.
And so all of the news agencies were on that. And then the White House at 8:18 Central released another story, and it is about the president's personal assistant. Can you read this, please?
Yeah, so he is his personal assistant, seen as kind of the last of the original group, with Hope Hicks leaving, kind of the last of that original close group. President Trump's personal assistant, John McEntee, was escorted out of the White House on Monday, two senior officials, administration officials said. The cause of the firing was an unspecified security issue, said a third White House official with knowledge of the situation.
Okay, so that's not going to get any coverage, but I think it's interesting that it is released. It happened last night, and it was released after the Rex Tillerson, so nobody is looking there. I don't know what he did. I have no idea, but this is the personal assistant to the president who, by the way, have you ever heard of John McEntee?
I have not.
Okay. Apparently, he's a trick shot quarterback.
Yes,
which is what if I'm the president, that's what I'm looking for.
Dude, perfect, man. He's got a gig he can probably leave to. Yeah.
I know. So, I have no idea why he was escorted, but for a personal assistant to be escorted on security issues is pretty significant.
Yeah, I mean, could it be tied to the whole controversy that's been going on with the temporary versus permanent security clearances? Maybe, but for a personal secretary or personal assistant, that would be kind of a strange line to draw. I mean, you can keep other people in the administration with on temporary security clearances, but not...
Read that again.
Sure, I'd love to.
Okay.
President Trump's personal assistant, John McEntee, escorted out of the White House. It also says in here that it was such a fast situation, they had to send somebody in for his jacket.
Yeah, there's something there. No.
It's kind of strange. No. The cause of the firing was an unspecified security issue.
Yeah. Yeah. You had to leave so fast that you forgot your jacket?
Yes. McEntee was removed from the White House grounds without being allowed to collect his belongings. He left without his jacket.
Yeah, something bad happened there.
Glenn Beck. Mercury. You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program.
So the news today is that Trump has fired Tillerson, and Rex Tillerson is now coming out and saying, the quote is, "I don't know why I was fired. I never talked to the president." I'm sure Rex knows why he was fired, and I'm guessing that, and the president just did a press conference a second ago as he's getting ready to go on to Marine One, and he sounded very presidential in it. He gave Rex Tillerson all kinds of, kudos and support and said, I admire him. I think he did a great job. We just had different views on things.
And he mentioned specifically the Iran deal. Yeah. Saying that Tillerson wanted to keep it in place. He wanted to blow it up. And I think I don't think Tillerson was terrible, but I think there's optimism that Pompeo will actually be better at that job.
Well, Pompeo, the thing I do like about Pompeo is he has been outspoken on Russia, and Russia is a big, big threat. And the president went on to say that he's going to speak to Theresa May this afternoon. He said, my understanding is that they believe that Russia was behind this chemical weapons attack on UK soil. He said, and if that's what they tell me, I would take that finding as fact. He said, but I will speak to her this afternoon, and if that is true, we will, of course, condemn Russia for it.
That's good. That's a very good way of looking at that. It'll be interesting to see what the pushback is, because they keep promising, and we do this all the time. Every country does this all the time. Serious consequences if X, Y, or Z, and then X, Y, or Z happens, and the serious consequences are just that you say, yet again, there will be serious consequences in the future. It'll be, I mean, if you had a chemical weapons attack on your soil, regardless if it was some operative from another country that was targeted, I would think you actually would make sure there were serious consequences. I mean, can you imagine if 21 American...
Red line.
It's a chemical attack on your soil.
I know. But what I'm saying, though, is can you imagine that happening on our soil? Yeah, I can. But when the president says it's a red line and then you do nothing, things get worse. So Theresa May has to be really careful, and the NATO countries have to be really careful. Are you prepared? What are you prepared to do? Now, I didn't think they would say anything because I didn't think anybody is prepared to actually go to war with Russia. And I don't think that they want war with Russia. No. I don't think that's, you know, on the immediate horizon. But this is a step towards it, depending on what they do. If it's a slap across the wrist, you know, then we go back to normal and he continues to kill people on, you know, on UK soil. We have Jason in. Jason is our head of national security. He watches this for us. And has been watching Russia now for the last 5 or 6 years with me. What do you think? What are the options here, Jason?
Very limited, and the Kremlin knows that, which is kind of infuriating because I think that, I mean, just the fact that they use this nerve agent over there was really the equivalent of, you know Putin signing his signature to mm-hmm. it, you know, putting in the acronym LOL, you know, and then cracking up because he knows that there's not a lot we can do. The minor things we could do, like, so this is called the very low end. Theresa May and Boris Johnson, their foreign minister, could say, okay, fine, we're going to react like we did with Litvinenko, who was another spy that Russia took out on UK soil. Mm-hmm. They could do that, and they just expelled a few Russian ambassadors, a few Russian diplomats, and pretty much called it a day. It was very minor, slap on the wrist. Big difference in this case, though, is that 21 UK citizens were hospitalized. A lot bigger blowout, a lot more collateral damage. It didn't happen in the Litvinenko case. And the language that Theresa May is using kind of sounds like you could make the case that they're trying to set up Article 5.
Yeah.
Now, she's calling it an illegal attack, an illegal attack on UK soil.
No, she said it's an unlawful use of force and weapons grade nerve agent, which is an act against the UK. Those are her exact words.
Those are scary words, because you definitely could, and you know that they're coordinating and reaching out to other NATO members. I would almost call them Secretary of State Tillerson. Former Secretary of State Tillerson said yesterday that, okay, yeah, it was obvious that Russia did this, and a response is incoming. So you know they're talking to each other. So it must be a collective NATO thing at this point. The question is, how far are they going to go? Now, the second option would be that they go a little bit more strict, they go a little more hardcore. Let's say the rest of NATO bands together, and it's a collective action against Russia, and they all decide to significantly downsize their diplomatic embassies and consulates all over, everywhere they have inside of a NATO country. The extreme end would be they just boot out the Russian ambassador altogether and say, find us another ambassador. That would be huge, because it would be mutually assured destruction, because the Russians would do the exact same thing, and we'd be at the lowest of low. I don't think even during the Cold War, when relations between NATO and Russia would have been that low. That would get scary. And
that's only the Russian ambassador to the UK, or are you saying the Russian ambassadors to all NATO countries?
Well, that is why I'm saying to all NATO countries.
Yeah, okay.
If they do an Article 5,
yes,
that would be how they respond, not militarily, but more like a diplomatic Article 5.
Now, let me ask you this. How does this play into the hands of people that they are funding, you know, with the World National Conservative Movement, where they are funding people like Golden Dawn and Jobbik in Hungary and in France and all over, these nationalist neo-Nazi kind of groups that love Russia now. How is this going to play?
You know, it really is all connected. You know, the more chaotic Western Europe and the United States is, the more that their job is basically just to make people doubt their governments.
Yeah.
The more that these people will say, look, this is, you'll probably hear this word a lot, Russophobia. You'll probably hear that a lot. And it'll be coming from those far right groups. You'll hear that from the alt right here in the United States, Russophobia. And you'll hear that all over the identitarian far right groups over in Europe. But the scary part is that a lot of these groups, especially not so much here in the United States, thankfully, but CPAC is starting to, you know, change that. But a lot of those groups in Europe have a strong foothold in mainstream government. So they hold significant seats. So they'll start using their influence to try and change things.
And are we seeing actual funding going to any of these groups, Jason, or is it mainly advice, counsel, and social media support?
No funding, and we'll never see funding. I mean, that's just the way that, you know, that's what they call, what's what Russia calls cutouts. They've been doing the same thing since the Soviet Union. It's very, very difficult to actually attach. So what you, like, for instance, when they did find the funding that went to the Front National, the far, you know, the Marine Le Pen's mm-hmm, group in mm-hmm. France, that was through a bank that is in Moscow that was basically a cutout. And it had random ties that eventually led back to the Kremlin. But it's so, like, wishy-washy, it provides easy, plausible deniability. Mm-hmm. The World National Conservative Movement, which was a conglomeration of all these far-right groups in Europe, again, the perfect cutout. But again, the people that started that were from the Russian Rodina Party, who their leader at the time is now the deputy vice premier or president or whatever, or whatever they have. He's like
deputy prime minister.
That's what it was, yeah. Mm-hmm. Who was right there under Putin. So all these people are connected, and they all have their tentacles into mainstream government. It's just they're very, very good at concealing it.
Yeah. Well, not concealing it, but making sure you can't prove it.
That's true.
And that's what makes this chemical weapon so interesting is you don't have to work hard to prove it. This is the only place that chemical nerve agent was made is in the Soviet Union or Russia.
The ultimate autograph. He autographed this and then laughed and knew that we couldn't do about anything. And I'm just a really another quick point, Glenn. The Brits figured this out in what, 3-4 days? Mm-hmm. What happened to it's been 14 days. It's been 2 weeks since the attack on the military base on where our Marines got hospitalized. We still haven't been told the chemical agent that was used. We haven't been told if there's any leads. Why? Why? Are the British that much better at investigating than we are? Same type of thing. They're speculating it was a nerve agent that attacked our U.S. Marines 14 days ago. They won't tell us a thing. I just reached out to them again this morning to get confirmation. They won't tell us. What's going on?
False flag. Interesting. Thank you, Jason. Keep following those stories for us, will you? We have a quick statement from the State Department.
It's an odd day today, Glenn. This is attributable to the Undersecretary for Public Diplomacy from the State Department. The Secretary, Tillerson, had every intention of staying because of the critical progress made in national security. He will miss his colleagues at the Department of State and the foreign ministers that he's worked with throughout the world. The Secretary did not speak to the President and is unaware of the reason. This is an on-the-record statement from the State Department. He's grateful for the opportunity.
This is not a reporter calling somebody in the State Department. This is an actual statement from the State Department. It's an official statement from the State Department?
Yes, on the record
what
statement.
What the hell does that mean?
This is not a something leaked from someone who, like,
right,
Tillerson.
Right, right.
This is an on the record statement from the Undersecretary for Public Diplomacy, if I may say, at least currently he is the Undersecretary for Public Diplomacy. That may not be.
Yeah, let's check back in an hour.
There are 72,000 veteran organizations in America. They are fantastic. We love the work they do for the people who deserve it the most. But none of these organizations help pay for funerals for our servicemen. The average funeral costs $6,000, and they can honestly be a lot more expensive than that. The government only covers $300. There is no funeral you can get for $300. That's where Dog Tag Furniture comes in. They are a nonprofit organization made up of a family and volunteers that create the most beautiful American flag art you've ever seen. In fact, if you watch Doc Thompson or Pat Gray Unleashed, you can see in the studio a great piece from Dog Tag. They also sell shirts, hoodies, and mugs. And all of this is going to a great cause. Dogtac Furniture is committed to making sure that every fallen hero deserves respect and they get the respect that they deserve. All the proceeds from their products go directly to helping veterans' families at a time when they need it the most. Check them out. Visit DogTagFurniture.com today. DogTagFurniture.com. Visit DogTagFurniture.com.
Notice you won't talk about the real story today.
I don't even know what the real story is today. There have been three pretty big bombs dropped in my lap in the last 30 to 45 minutes.
Let's
talk about Rex Tillerson. Let's talk about Russia's chemical attack.
You want to talk about anything real?
What am I missing here, Stu?
There's a new report. Mm-hmm. That's a posthumous memoir from her former husband, Judy Garland. May have been sexually harassed by the Munchkins on the Wizard of Oz set.
Oh my God. Oh, I can't.
They would make,
I don't think I'm strong enough. I don't think I'm strong enough to handle this.
They were drunks.
They were drunk,
said Judy Garland in a 1967 interview with a TV talk show host, Jack Parr. Mm-hmm. They put them all in one hotel. They got smashed every night and the police had to pick them up in butterfly nets. You won't talk about this.
I won't. I wish I would have led the hour with this, though. I really do.
This is the latest step in the Me Too movement. Apparently, the Munchkins from Wizard of Oz were going after Judy Garland. They're saying, I mean, some of it, they were 40 years old. And they were making her miserable on set by, quote, putting their hands under her dress.
Those dirty little bastards.
No one will talk about this because everyone wants to protect the Munchkins. Everyone is trying to protect them. They've known this whole time. Everyone knew. Yeah. All of Hollywood knew.
You know who I'd like to talk to today? I'd like to talk to that bastard that made The Hobbit. That's who I'd like to talk to. There's a reason he lives in New Zealand.
There have been many rumors about the debauchery of the Munchkins.
Really?
Oh, don't act like you don't
know.
Okay,
all right. I heard the rumors, but I didn't want to believe.
No, you definitely don't want to believe this. They had reported at the time, quote, they had sex orgies in the hotel. They had to have police on every floor. This is insane. There were a lot of them who liked to go out and have a few drinks, but nothing got out of hand, said one of the Munchkins when she was 15. Well, what are you expecting to get out of the Munchkins? The Munchkins are going to defend other Munchkins. That's what happens with Munchkins. You know, it's like the thin Munchkin line.
Yeah.
You know, they're not going to cross it.
Nobody's going to cross it. I'm just glad
finally you allowed this story to be told. Well, I've been trying to get this story on the air since 1939. No one would listen to me.
What's the source on that? What news?
This is from the Daily Wire.
Well, Ben Shapiro. I mean, he's got balls. He is not going to be silent.
I guess not.
Yeah, he's like, damn it. I'm going to stand for the truth. It's got to be told.
We applaud his bravery in this matter.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, by the way, also, Rex Tillerson fired.
Yeah, and the whole Russia thing was a scam. But...
also the chemical attack on UK.
That's a different Russia thing.
Yeah, and then a personal assistant for the president escorted out for a security issue yesterday.
Yeah, it was so quickly that he wasn't allowed to take any of his stuff, including his jacket.
They had to go back in and get it.
Yeah, but have you heard about the Munchkins?
Yes, you heard about this.
It's incredible. Me too, damn it. Me too.
Glenn Beck. Mercury.